counsel who have merits cases had an opportunity during the recess to sign in. No one needs to do that. All right. The next case is Canada Dry versus Anderson. Tarochi or Tarochi?
Tarochi.
Tarochi. I went to and got both of them wrong. All right.
Thank you. May it please the Court, good morning, Your Honor. Cheryl Tarochi on behalf of Canada Dry Potomac Corporation, who is the employer in this case. This case arises from an appeal of a decision of the Workers' Compensation Commission. And the issue in this case is the Commission's authorization of a continued treatment plan with Dr. Bonner that includes a variety of continued care, ongoing monthly visits with Dr. Bonner, bi-weekly physical. Yes.
Just as a preliminary matter, if the authorized treating physician approves medical treatments that all they do is keep him level or provide pain relief, that's compensable, correct?
It is, Your Honor. The statute provides for authorization for continued, what we call palliative treatment. So ongoing treatment that would keep the claimant at his kind of the best level if he can be at to keep that continuation.
And Dr. Bonner is an approved treating physician who has said that this is a necessary treatment related to the injury by accident.
Dr. Bonner is, Your Honor, he is the authorized treating physician. The issue in this case is whether or not his recommended treatment plan is reasonable and necessary. And
you've got a pretty big hill to climb given that those two baseline facts. Go ahead.
I was going to just say, and I understand that what Your Honor is likely getting at is that the standard of review in this case is very narrow, and the employer appreciates that. But this goes beyond a simple weight of the evidence. And if this was just a weight of the evidence question and a comparison of the competing doctor's opinions, we would be in a different place today. The problem that the employer takes with this decision is that the commission has gone past that to make a finding that the claimant in this case has a mental deficit and that mental deficit renders him incapable of performing an independent treatment plan.
Wasn't there a medical opinion to that effect?
No, Your Honor.
At pages 532 of the joint appendix, it appears to me that Dr. Bonner's note says that we attempted to transition him to an independent physical therapy, but because of his mental difficulties, that was not successful.
Your Honor, and that is the only comment that Dr. Bonner makes.
But like most favorable to the Commonwealth, if the Commission credits that, where are we?
The Commission would credit that opinion, but that opinion is not sufficient. That opinion is not credible evidence, because all Dr. Bonner says is that there is a mental status that prevents this in one line. It's a one-line opinion.
But it comes with more than just a one-line opinion. It's we actually attempted to do what the employer wants us to do, and it didn't work because of the mental defect. So if they actually tried to do independent physical therapy, go work out at the gym on your own, and in the doctor's opinion, and that didn't work, and the doctor gives a valid medical reason for it to be, and I know it's not a diagnosis, but does that, and the commission finds that credible, and based on light most favorable to the claimant at this stage, why isn't that binding on us?
The problem is that you said the word if. And that's the issue with Dr. Bonner's opinion, is that it's an if. It doesn't have a basis. It doesn't have an explanation. It doesn't tell us what this mental status is on this particular date or what he did to transition him, if he did it at all. There's a lot of speculation that goes behind what Dr. Bonner is saying. And what the commission did in this case is they took that one sentence, one paragraph, if you take it in context, Dr. Bonner saw him normally monthly, sometimes bi-monthly, and we're talking about treatment from 2013 till now, it's 5 years, so that's 30 to 60 visits of Dr. Bonner's notes, and we're relying on one sentence, but she takes that sentence and jumps to, well, he has a mental deficit that prevents him from doing those things. And I don't believe that that's what Dr. Bonner is saying. Dr. Bonner doesn't say he has a mental deficit or explain what it is about his condition or his status that prevented him from doing that. And that is also contradictory to what the claimant himself testified at the commission. And we went through on cross-examination what he does in those therapy visits and what to establish what he can or cannot do independently. And he specifically testified that he's been doing these physical therapy treatments for over 8 years. We're talking about over 800 sessions of physical therapy. And he says in his own testimony that he attends them. He knows what the exercises are by now. He gets there, and if his first he walks on the treadmill. So he says the first half of his hour-long session is he walks on the treadmill. He does that by himself. Then if his therapist isn't ready, he starts those exercises by himself. He lifts the light weights, he does the bands. The only things that were described by the claimant that he could not do were things that would be fixed in different ways, of equipment issues with the e-stim machine and things of that nature.
If he does have some mental deficit that requires the structure of, even if he starts by himself, just the fact that the therapist is there and checking on him, for a better term. If there is a legitimate mental deficit that makes that type of supervised environment beneficial to him, is it compensable?
It may be, Your Honor, if that is the medical opinion. If there is an expert who is explaining that he has this condition and that there are things about this condition, things about this person, that he cannot do these activities or need supervision for these reasons. But that is not fleshed out in this record.
Is it his burden to prove it's reasonable, or is it your burden to prove it's unreasonable, given that Dr. Bonner has said that this is necessary?
It was our burden at the commission on the reasonableness and necessity issue. And the issue, though, is that the commission, she starts to weigh those opinions, and she hinges on this one statement we're talking about from Dr. Bonner. But the commission also pulls her own observations. And this is where the commission takes those medical opinions. She's almost rendering a medical opinion. She's looking at observations. And there were only two observations that she hinges on, one of those being that the claimant was slow to answer questions in the context of a legal proceeding where he admits he was nervous. If that's the standard for a mental deficit, there are a lot of litigants. There are a lot of attorneys that likely have a mental deficit that are slow to answer questions, probably here today, are slow to answer Your Honor's questions. I mean, that alone is not sufficient to establish.
How about her reference to Dr. Hope's note?
Dr. Hope made the same comment, and the claimant testified that he was nervous when he got to Dr. Hope. He didn't know who Dr. Hope was. He went to an evaluation with the doctor. He said that he was nervous. I believe he even said that he had had a nervous tremor or some anxiety, and that was displayed during Dr. Hope's exam. And Dr. Hope commented on the fact that he was slow to answer questions. But Dr. Hope did not render, he's also a doctor, he's a neurosurgeon, did not make a finding of that anxiety or that nervousness and slow to answer questions being translated to a mental deficit. And the only other observation that the commission made was that the claimant lives with his mother. Now, there could be a number of lifestyle choices of, and I'm not going to render an opinion on why a middle-aged man would be living with his mom. There could be a number of reasons why he seems that that's the best choice for him. That she makes his meals, he likes where he lives, it's easy for him. But there was no testimony from the claimant or to Dr. Bonner in the medical records as to why. And that is the issue, that a lot of this is speculation. We don't know from Dr. Bonner's reports or from the claimant or from anyone who has given opinions in this case why those things are true and why, if he does have a mental status, that it somehow relates to or causes the fact that he cannot perform these independent exercises. And that is the issue that the employer has coming before Your Honor today, is that there's simply no credible evidence in the record to support the commission's determination that the claimant has a mental deficit, which renders him incapable of doing an independent program. And the commission's decision on reasonableness and necessity hinges on that determination. That is the basis for her finding, is this mental deficit issue, which has not been fleshed out and really was not even addressed during the hearing itself until the opinion came out by the commission.
But it's not her finding. It's the finding that was adopted by the full commission on review, and so there was plenty of time to address that issue in the proceedings below, correct?
To an extent, Your Honor.
Her factual findings are irrelevant unless the commission actually adopts them.
Correct. We are talking about the decision of the full commission, and the argument is the same, because you're looking at the same observations that the commission had made and adopted that were done during the hearing, and the only medical evidence we have is that one record we are discussing.
But when you filed your written statement on a review, you were fully aware that that was an issue, because it had been in the deputy commissioner's opinion that was on review.
Yes, at that point we were aware that it was an issue, but it's too late to go back and question the claimant about those things. I mean, it wasn't brought out by the claimant himself. It certainly wasn't brought out by his attorney or explained as a basis. There was no...
But you did have the one line in the medical record the whole time.
Yes, there is one line in the medical record, and that is the issue, that we're talking about one line, and whether that one line is sufficient and credible evidence to then jump to a conclusion that that one line about a mental status somehow equals a mental deficit and is then completely changing his treatment plan. And if there are no further questions, I would like to reserve the remainder of our time for rebuttal.
May it please the court, my name is Lou Snessel, and I represent Mr. Anderson and have represented him for a number of years in these proceedings. I think what brings us here is the insurance carrier's frustration here that they've had to provide this palliative care for a number of years that Mr. Anderson hasn't improved to the point where he doesn't need it anymore. But the commission has based its opinion on abundant credible evidence that this treatment is necessary. I want to go straight to some of what I think is the heart of this, and that's the issue of mental deficit and whether it's only one line from the record that supports it. I don't think it's just one line.
But even if it is, don't you win if it's just one line?
Well, that is supporting evidence. What I'm suggesting, there is additional supporting evidence that this man is incapable of doing the home care that the insurance company would prefer. That is the repeated opinions of Dr. Bonner in reports to me and in his office notes about Mr. Anderson just not being independent enough to be able to conduct these things by himself. The deputy commissioner's assessment of his demeanor, which the commission relied on in its opinion. I mean, the commission's in the same boat that this panel is. They don't see the proceeding. They don't see the witness. So they relied on the findings of deputy commissioner. Mr. Anderson's testimony himself, while he is able to conduct some activities, he does rely on the therapist there to make sure that he is being taken care of properly. Some of the equipment issues that Ms. Tairachi mentioned, he just obviously cannot do some of these things at home because of lack of professional equipment that is required. That's one piece of evidence, Dr. Bonner saying that he attempted the transition, it didn't work, he's just not capable of it, but that's not the only supporting evidence that the care is necessary. There's also, I mean, when I hear the argument and read the brief, there seems to be an underlying assumption that someone should be capable of home care and therefore the claimant should have to prove that he's not. What sort of care and what setting a patient gets is obviously a clinical judgment that the physicians, the clinicians, making decisions every day. There are a variety of settings. They could be recommending care in the office. They could be recommending care at home provided by a professional. They could be recommending care at home that the person himself can do or in a gym. I mean, there's just an abundant number of settings. It does not require DSM-5 diagnosis for a clinician to come to a conclusion and make a determination about what he thinks is the best setting for the care of a patient. In this situation, doctors Hope and Aldridge, who seem to think that Mr. Anderson should be capable of any care himself at home, that's their opinion, but the commission did not adopt it. They adopted the opinion of the treating physician, and that is more than sufficient on this issue of what setting the care should be rendered to support the commission's determination. So unless this panel has questions, I think my brief addresses the issues which I wanted to bring to the attention of this panel. So unless there are questions,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Rachi.
Thank you. And I'm going to be brief. Just to counsel's point, I don't believe that there's ever been an allegation that there needs to be a DSM-5 diagnosis.
I think I injected that into it with a question.
Yes. There's a discrepancy between, and there's a gap between having a DSM-5 diagnosis and then what we're discussing of just this mental status comment. And the issue is that
The commission then took that one comment without any further explanation or support from the doctor and then took an observation during hearing based on him not living with his mother and being slow to answer questions, and then making her own finding of fact, or the commission then making a finding of fact that the claimant then has a mental deficit. And that's simply not supported by expert opinion, by medical evidence in this case. Unless your honors have any further questions, I will submit the rest of the brief.
We'll come down and
thank you.